RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Great to have Joe as a regular part of our Correct Weight program, Talking Horses. And Joe, we got plenty of ground to cover this morning. And I was just talking to Matt Laurie about Alfa Oro. It was one of the feel-good stories of Caulfield yesterday. But there's also a good story and a feel-good story attached with the Dean Benet stable and the victory of Felicia yesterday.
There certainly was. Good morning to you, Warren, and listeners. Felicia, one of the most impressive winners all day at Caulfield. And there's a remarkable story behind her, because at one stage of her career, she was considered, veterinary-wise, a complete write-off. But somehow, trainer Dean Benet and the connections of this star managed to nurse her back to full health, and it resulted in what was a very impressive performance yesterday at Caulfield. Dean's our first guest on Talking Horses this morning. Hi, Dean.
Hi, Woz. How are you?
Good, thanks. Wow, what a performance yesterday. Did she perform to your expectations or surprise you a little bit?
No, there was no surprises there. I was hoping she would do that the day that she got into that strong headwind at Caulfield. And, I think a lot of elements have been against her in terms of track conditions and the wind and Barrier 1 at Moonee Valley. She's always shown us that she's got that talent. It's just been unfortunate and frustrating for myself and the owners that she hasn't been able to show what she did yesterday earlier on in this campaign.
And there's probably been good reason why we haven't seen the best from her until now, because early in her career, Dean, she faced a lot of soundness problems. And at one stage, veterinary opinion was of the thinking that she should be put down.
Yeah, she was trained in Adelaide. I went for a normal, just a regular knee op. And then I think it was a couple of weeks later, it turned septic, the knee. They went back in there, flushed it out. I'm not sure on exactly what happened on that side. All I know, it was pretty catastrophic, and that, the consensus was to put it down. Brooke Barker, a Geelong stud, is a manager for Gerard Ballantyne. He's got a broodmare there. She said, don't put it down. It doesn't sound right to me. Bring her back here. She's a very, very smart lady. She actually runs Mums for Bubs, the adoption service for all the thoroughbreds and any other horse. And she sort of nutted it out and applied a few different things, and they worked. And then she became sound enough to be a broodmare, unencumbered. You know, she's probably worth a bit of money having two starts for two wins. And then we sort of spoke a bit, and knowing that we've got the water walker and the programs for horses with crook knees, she sent it, Gerard and that sent it to us for the rehab. And then they said, well, you might as well keep her here and train her. So basically the rest is history.
Wow. Well, yesterday, the way she hit the line, Dean, it would be hard to imagine that she had such serious issues with her knees. She races like a horse with a lot of confidence, considering.
Look, she has had no soundness problems since she's been here. None at all. Trotted her up as soon as she got off the truck this morning. Sound as a bell. No issues at all there. But I think that's just, I've learnt a lot from this horse in terms of we've been taking her down the beach and doing the heavy sand work with her. We couldn't gallop her on Tuesday morning because of the rain. They closed all the grass tracks here. Part of her program is I will not. She only trots and canters on the sand here at the track. She never ever goes any faster than that. All the other work is done either in the heavy sand or surging in the water walker. So not being able to gallop her and only using the beach was, it was a real eye-opener for me and a good learning curve for me with this horse. I think I probably made a mistake with her at Moonee Valley. I probably worked her. I'd done probably one too many sessions, I feel. And that's why she wasn't a little bit flat-footed and wasn't right up there near the lead like she normally is. But as, we'd sort of learned from that. The only reason for that was when we took the pacifiers off, she did come to us with a lot of mental issues. She had some sort of barrier thing on. She had to be loaded last. And even on the way home from Adelaide, she went off in the truck, and the truck float driver said, we're not going any further till someone comes and sedates this horse. It's going to kill itself. So it doesn't have you know, the marble's only just sitting in the hole with her when she first came. But, you know, like I said yesterday, if it wasn't for my old lead pony, Elvis, you know, I think that was a big turning point. But also putting the pacifiers on, when you put the pacifiers on, she's a completely different horse. She's like a kid's pony. But then when Mark suggested take the pacifiers off, I was really concerned. And she did play up a little bit going into the barriers the other day at Moonee Valley, and she was a little bit hot behind the gates. Craig sort of tried to suggest that maybe earmuffs or something. But we've tried all those sorts of things at home here, and none of them work. But as soon as you put a set of pacifiers on her, she's a completely different horse. Even yesterday, we travelled her to the races in them, and we saddled her with the pacifiers on. And then we took the pacifiers off just before she was heading out to the races. And that's what keeps her calm. She doesn't sweat, doesn't get upset. She stands there in the stall with Elvis. You know, even when we weren't allowed to have lead ponies there, what we had to do was, you're not allowed to leave them in the float car park either. I had to get my dad to drive the truck in, take the horse off, drive around for an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever it was, and then come back and pick us up. So, you know, because I know how dangerous she is in the float by herself. A lot of work's gone into this horse, let me tell you.
Well, that sounds like it's quite amazing. So after that win yesterday, what are the likely plans with her? That was her third career win from now 7 starts.
5 runs for us. She's been up for quite a while. Sound as a bell, still happy. Licked the bowl clean last night. The owners and I have already sort of spoke. Win, lose or draw, we would give her a short break now. Because the rules are we won't be sending her down on any firmish type tracks. She'll only be racing on softish tracks like yesterday. So obviously she's going to have all the summer and most of autumn off. So what we might do is back off her now, send her back out to Brook. She can have probably 3 weeks out there, maybe a bit more, depending on how well she lets down. And then I know with the grounding that she's got, she's not a great big gross horse, so she'll come up pretty quick. And with the base work we've done with the sand and the water walker, you know, it won't take much to bring her back to peak fitness. So, you know, that's where it sits at the moment. Craig was pretty keen to go one more, but I just don't want to dip too far into the tank. She's not a very big, robust thing. And I think she's quite backward and hasn't filled out due to, you know, the trauma that she went through. She had to go back under the knife again once we got her over to this side, and Golden Plains did a really good job on operating on her and sort of cleaning out the knee again. Had to go in there and take out a few more fragments and that. So, you know, this little horse has been through quite a lot, but to her credit, she's, you know, she's quite resilient and loves her work. And the key is just keep her happy with the pony. She absolutely loves Elvis and loves that painted lead pony at the races. When she sees him walk around the mounting yard, you watch her walk around the mounting yard, she actually looks for him. Even when she goes out, gets led out to the track every morning, she'll go off and do her work. And then as she's pulling up, she's looking for Elvis to see where he is to get a walk home with Elvis. So it's a pretty good story. She's a very, very quirky sort of horse.
And Elvis must be very proud of what she did yesterday at the races.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Thanks for joining us, Dean.
No worries. Have a great day. Thanks very much.
Warren, what a great job Dean's done nursing this filly back to such great winning form.
True, and a positive sign of how well she went yesterday, because we know how hard Craig Williams works when he's fighting out premierships, and if he wants to extend another run out of Felicia, he must have been impressed with what she did yesterday, because he must think it might mean another win for him at this pointy end of the premiership season.
Yes, it's just amazing, isn't it, to hear the whole backstory about her. And Brooke at Riversdale Stud and her assessment of the horse as well was crucial to her being able to return to racing.
Looking a bit at international racing with Royal Ascot in recent weeks, Joe, and the Irish Derby overnight was another highlight of racing in that part of the world at this time of year.
Yes, the Irish Derby run overnight, and Aidan O'Brien of the Coolmore team at Warren produced the trifecta at the Curra, while the two place getters were both colts by Galileo. The winner, Santiago, is by Authorize, who now stands in Turkey. Our last start winner of the Group 2 Royal Ascot Queen's Bar, Santiago, was favourite for this assignment and duly delivered. It was an impressive performance, and another fine effort by Aidan O'Brien in the Derby. It was his 14th victory in the race and a fourth success in the Irish Classic for Jamie Heffernan. Authorised, obviously, has a link back to Darley and Godolphin. He's the sixth Group 1 winner, this horse for Authorised, who shuttled to Australia for four seasons, Warren, and is best known here as the sire of Australian-bred Group 1 winners Complacent and Tunamau, and also the imported Godolphin flag bearer Hartnell, who won four Group 1 races in Australia and more than $7 million in prize money. And on a topical note, Ben Cox, the head of Godolphin Australia, is our next guest on Talking Horses. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Good morning, Warren. How's you both going?
Thanks for during this chilly winter period. Much to talk about with you this morning. Well, firstly, nice to see Authorised get the Irish Derby winner overnight.
Yes, no, I mean, he's been a very good stallion over the years, albeit struggled commercially. But if you read out his record, he's got a fairly imposing record as it stands. But obviously we're very fond of the horse, being the sire of Hartnell, who is now in our flag bearer program, and we gifted him, for want of a better expression, to Reg Fleming, who's managing the horse's career in the equine show circuit. So very exciting for Reg. He was a wonderful racehorse and one of Godolphin's great racehorses here in Australia.
And I'm sure, Ben, many of our listeners are fans of Hartnell and always keen to know how he's progressing in his new vocation. And it was announced only a couple of weeks ago that Reg has decided that Shirley Patterson will do the work with him and get him to the show ring. So really looking forward to seeing what he can do. He's a stunning-looking horse. I've no doubt he'll make a great success story there. Well, in recent times, Ben, Godolphin has dispersed quite a number of stock. Tell us how that all ended up. Trainers like Mitch Beer are very successful on the border there, picking up a number of very good buys for his owners. It's interesting the way things are going in this state.
Yeah, look, we're obviously a big organisation, a big stable, and we breed a lot of horses. We breed somewhere between 100 and 150 foals a year. So it comes a time where we need to sort of clear the decks, as it were, and move a few horses on. And our attitude is to sell horses that we think will go to the races. We know they'll keep going to the races, and hopefully win races for their new owners. Yesterday we had a double. Inquiry won the stakes race up in Brisbane, an old flag bearer of ours, and Flow over in Western Australia. So they go far and wide, but it is part of our normal course of business to trade on our racehorses. We follow them closely in their new stables. We write to the new owners and make sure they know everything they can know about the horses or that we know about the horses, and hope to have a long career with their new owners.
It's a fantastic initiative and a good way for you to make way for the top line horses that Godolphin's all about producing. But these horses do find their place in the smaller stables around Australia. And some of these horses too then require that little bit extra time and focus, and a smaller trainer can give them that, and they can suddenly realise their full potential on occasion, as was evidenced yesterday. But it's also fantastic for owners who want to invest in ready-made horses and have a horse, as you say, that's ready to go to the races.
Oh, indeed. And they've been, they're well-bred generally. They've been well-educated through our systems, invariably through Melbourne and Sydney, and broken in by us. The horses do look, they're ready-made. And as I say, I think the stats for horses that we've sold, nearly every one of them has made the racetrack. For the new owner. So it proves that it's working. And if a horse does have a problem, we don't offer it. We'll retire it and find a new home for the horse. We have a lifetime care policy whereby anyone that's interested in one of our retired horses, we'll gift the horse to them and, again, follow the horse's career. And should they, for whatever reason, decide they don't want to continue with the horse, we'll go and pick it up and find a new home for it. So it's a two-way thing.
So So, Vin, during these quiet winter months, as far as the racetrack is concerned, there'd be plenty going on behind the scenes as horses start coming in for their spring campaigns. What can we expect from Godolphin come the spring off what's been a remarkable season already?
Look, we're very much looking forward to spring. All the big horses, inverted commas, are just in their early stages of work. We look forward to races like the Everest, to the VRC derbies and things like that. Whether we've got the ammunition to collect the ribbons, I'm not sure, but we're certainly hopeful. And look, it's very exciting. And we've got a bunch of two-year-olds about to turn three that have bred on a sort of a staying profile, that we're hopeful that we can win some of the extended races over the spring carnival. So, look, we're very excited. The most exciting part is the unwrapping of the new baby-year-olds. So we've got 107 yearlings that are well and truly through the system, but some are up to three and four times. And just unwrapping those and hopefully finding another bivouac, another Kiyomichi, another microphone in amongst them.
Fantastic, Vin. And congratulations on the news this week that you've been appointed to the Victoria Racing Club board.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. It's a great honour to be on that board. It's a wonderful institution, as we well know. They're the custodians of the preeminent race in Australia and probably the best race course in the country. And so to be part of that organisation, I'm thrilled with it.
Fantastic. Vin, thanks for talking to us on the program this morning.
No worries. Anytime, Joe.
That's Vin Cox there, Warren, the Managing Director of the Dolphin here in Australia. There are plenty to discuss there. And no doubt, Warren, across the Tasman, you are keeping a close eye on the performance of Impecunious at Riccarton, a filly winning at her maiden. And boy, was she impressive for a horse that we'll potentially see in Melbourne come the spring.
And rain-affected ground there at Riccarton, Joe, and obviously had the ability to handle that, but a horse that I think, destined to go to better heights for sure.
And her trainer, Michael Pittman, is our final guest on Talking Horses this morning, joining us from across in New Zealand. How are you, Michael?
I'm really good, thanks, Joe. All good here, yeah.
Well, that was some win by Impecunious, a filly that you're now suggesting could be the best horse you've had in the stable since Savvy Coop.
Yeah, she's always shown plenty of potential. We paid plenty for her too, on the South Island trainer, don't have a lot of owners that dip in and pay six figures for horses. I think she might be the second dearest horse I've ever been associated with. But she's always shown plenty. She's never had a trial in her life. We got a barrier certificate on the Tuesday before she had her first start, but just jumping out of the practice gates at Riccarton. And anybody who saw that run realised there were plenty of red lights about her. She fell out of the gate. She was probably 10 lengths off them and ran the last 632 and change. And I know we've got fast clocks over here, but it was still a really good run. And she's developed a lot since that first up, isn't it?
She's by Sacred Falls, and right from the start, as you say, you've had a very high opinion of her. Having a look at the performance yesterday, she's still got a lot to learn. She was quite green going to the line, wanting to drift in a bit, but she showed a great turn of foot and probably doing things that she shouldn't be based on her pedigree, having a Sydney Cup winner on the dam side.
Yeah, I mean, she's a lovely filly when we bought her. That's why we paid 140 grand for her, and she's a lovely filly. And I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Bill Mears, and I'm not on my own in that regard. And being out of the Bill Mear, you thought, well, you're buying a horse that's potentially going to be probably Christmas 3-year-old before she's going to show a form. And I still believe that she's got that much improvement in her. Her granddam won a Sydney Cup, and she's out of the Bill Mear, so she shouldn't really be doing what she's doing, but that's the ability she does have.
So now you're talking about setting her for the 1,000 guineas and the Oaks. Based on what she did yesterday, what have you mapped out roughly for her over the next 6 months?
Well, we have a fillies race here, 1,200-metre fillies race, the first listed race in the South Island, but that's not till the end of September. And I guess I got a really good owner that runs them, and we've had a fair bit of success together. We have sold quite a few horses in the last 2 years, and I've said to him, you know, this one we're not selling, we're keeping this one. I hope he listens to me. But we're just going to take a real patient policy and keep a little bit on the fresh side for that 1,200-metre race at the end of September. There was a chance that they were taking the guineas off us and going north at one stage, but it's been confirmed that both guineas races are staying here. And when we had Savvy Coke, we actually bypassed the guineas because we didn't think she was mature enough. And surprisingly, with the pedigree that this filly's got, I think she's just that more mature and shows actually a little bit more ability than Savvy Coke, who everybody knows went on to win the Oaks and win the Livermore Classic. And, it's nice to dream. It'd be nice if she could follow in the same path as what she did, but we'll know how hard that is to replicate.
And so far, you've resisted considerable offers for her?
Yeah, I mean, we've been offered money straight after her first up effort, and I did say to Gary and Mark Chittick over 12 months ago that I thought I had the best sacred pools in the country, and I think they looked at me sideways, but I mean, after yesterday, it's nice to be proven right, you know?
And how possible is it that we'll see her in Melbourne sometime over the next 6 to 12 months?
We've never been afraid to travel horses. There's a lot of water going under the bridge. I mean, I was going to take a team to Adelaide, and unfortunately COVID-19 had us. And Adelaide's a carnival that I've sort of kept my eye on for quite some time. And I know it's not your top draw, AJC Oaks or the VRC Oaks, but that Adelaide Carn is very appealing to me as a New Zealand-based trainer. They offer those three really good races for fillies. Maybe that might be a long-term target.
Okay. So, in Impecunious, when will we see her next race?
Not sure. Sorry. Got to think about it. There's plenty of races in our own back door. I train here at Rickon, and we have 23 meetings in our own back door. So we don't have to travel very far. So I guess that she'll step out sometime between now and September. She'll probably only have one more run in the next 3 months and look after, because we think come November and January, that's probably when she'll be hopefully hitting a peak fitness and peak form.
Sure, there'll be plenty of eyes on her when she next lines up. Thanks for talking to us this morning, Michael.
Yeah, no, thanks, Joe, for recognising the South Island racing too. You know, we're in our own little bubble here at times, and it's nice to be recognised, and I appreciate your call.
Yeah, it's been a tough time for New Zealand racing of late. It must be nice to be back racing.
Yeah, it is, and the announcement we had on a couple of days ago is that they're producing the same amount of money to be distributed, but over a lot less races. So the pie is the same, but there's less people at the table to eat it. So it's hopefully we'll get more money at some stage.
Fantastic. Well, Warren, there's no doubt about the Kiwis. They face plenty of challenges of late and have done for a number of years in the industry there. But boy, they keep producing very good horses.
Yeah, and Sacred Falls is going to no doubt have some progeny that are going to leave their mark. Unfortunate what happened with Sacred Falls, but that breeding industry in New Zealand and the racing in the South Island sometimes a little bit underestimated, but trainers like Michael, they can prepare a good horse, they get their hands on some quality bloodstock, and sometimes they fly under the radar to some extent.
And it's a big call he's made, suggesting that this could be the best, if not potentially a better horse than Savvy Cope, which was very good for the stable. So we'll put her in the black book, Impecunious. Warren?
She's gone in, Joe, and you definitely were casting your eyes far and wide to pick up that impressive winner at Riccarton yesterday.
Well, you got to over the winter months, don't you? Looking forward to seeing some very good horses come back over the next little while too.
And looking forward to having you back next week. Joe, thanks for covering so much ground with us on Talking Horses this morning.
We've been to Ireland, New Zealand, Caulfield. We've been everywhere, man. Thanks, Warren.
You and I have been to New Zealand together, Joe, but we'll leave that for another day.
That was a great trip.
25 to 9 on RSN 927. Back with Ray Thomas after this.